Brethren, would you please turn in your Bibles in the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We have 1 and 2 Kings and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Typically, I'm reading the Bible and praying for God to give me some thoughts that impress upon my mind. It's usually the way I come up with a topic. But this week, I was praying just to God to give me a topic because I, frankly, wasn't reading. I got behind in my reading. And a verse came to me. I pray it's from God. I didn't know exactly where it was. I thought it was in the Old Testament, but I looked it up and I quoted at it. And a thing you can do, you probably know this, my daughter told me about it. I have a concordance and I look up key words in a verse and it'll tell you where that verse is. But you can also type in on a search on the smartphone or computer and kind of quote at the verse if you don't know the verse, or quote it if you do, and it'll tell you where it is. I have a better knack for remembering the verse than I do remembering where it is. I oftentimes can't remember what book, and certainly can't remember what chapter or verse it is. And that's a very handy thing to be able to do that on a smartphone or on the computer, is type that verse in, what you know of it, and hit search, and it'll usually bring it up for you if you get enough of the verse in there. And that verse was in my mind. It kept coming to me over and over in my mind. And so I did the search on it, and it came up, 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 and 2. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. If I read that correctly, that's 2 Chronicles 15, 1 and 2. The part of the verse that came to me, I pray from God, is that phrase that says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. That's the part I looked up, and it came then on my screen, and I got to reading, of course, verses after that and verses before it, and I want to look at some of those today, but the main thoughts are in verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2. Let's pray again, brethren. Pray with me that God will open His Word to you and to me. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege to read it together. Thank You for preserving it to our reading. Thank You for the freedom to do it. Oh God, I pray these words in Your Holy Word are on my heart by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I pray You're in it, oh God, that You would let the words of my mouth now and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, our strength, our Redeemer. O God, let what we do here be acceptable to You. Let it be from You. May we be led, O God, into the truth of Your Word by the Holy Spirit. Give me the right words to say, O God. May the Spirit of God come and lead us into all truth. May He direct our worship today. May He prick our hearts. May we be convinced and convicted of the sin in our lives. May we be directed to the straight and the narrow way that leads to life, leads to blessing, leads to prospering spiritually, leads to You. Oh God, grant, please, bless, Father, the ministers of God this morning as they stand before the people. Give us, O God, direction from on high. And guide us, O God, to Your honor and glory. And to the
education, the edification of your people. We ask it, O God, we beg it in the name of Jesus, who's made us kings and priests to our God. In His name we pray. Amen.
This verse, brethren, is just a blessing to read it, be able to look it up and read it, meditate upon it. And as I found the verse, brethren, I read it and, of course, tried to read it in context. That's what you and I have to do. We have to study the Scriptures in their proper context, because you can take the Word of God or any word out of context and get in a mess. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Let me give you, brethren, some background for context here. Asa, this man Azariah, he goes out, the Spirit of God leads him to go out and meet King Asa. Asa was a king. My Bible has in the margin 941 B.C. So roughly 1,000 years before Christ came of the Virgin Mary. This man's reigning. His name is Asa. He's a king. He's a king of a kingdom named Judah. Judah and Benjamin were a kingdom. That's two of the 12 tribes of Israel. The other 10 were known at this point in history as Israel. There were 10 tribes in what we commonly call the Northern Kingdom. It's a divided kingdom. And there were 2 tribes in the kingdom of Judah, or the Southern Kingdom. Judah had generally had good kings, generally. Israel generally had evil kings. This king right here is named Asa. He instituted reforms. You can see that in the first verse of chapter 14, it says, Abiah slept with his fathers. That means he died. And they buried him in the city of David. That's in Jerusalem. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Look at verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. My Bible reading, my daily Bible reading right now, is taking me through Kings and Chronicles. I'm in First Chronicles now. And as I read about these kings, I've read it enough to be able to generally recognize by the name of the king that he was good or bad. If I said to you, Ahab, you'd probably all say he was a bad one. He was one of the worst. Asa, he was a good one. He's a good king. And what made Asa good, brethren, was, bottom line, God made him good. He loved God. God owned him. He belonged to God, and he served God. Asa came to the throne at a time when there was a lot of idol worship in his kingdom. A lot of false gods, gods of the Canaanites that inhabited the land before the children of Israel came into the land. And Asa, in his reforms, brethren, he had those idols, altars to false gods torn down. I think they would typically build an altar and they would landscape it. You can read about, it says he cut down the groves. My understanding is they would plant trees or bushes, they'd landscape them and they'd make them attractive to the eye, and they'd worship false gods there. Israelites would. And they got into false worship of false gods under Solomon. Do you remember last week? Was that Father's Day? Was that just last week? I think so. I preached to you about David giving fatherly advice to his son Solomon. Well, in the later life of Solomon, he didn't follow David's advice. He didn't follow his father's advice. And Asa now is, to a degree, reaping what Solomon sowed. And so he becomes king. He's about the fourth one down from Solomon, I think. About the fourth one. There was Solomon, Rehoboam, then there was one more. Maybe this Azariah, then Asa. Somewhere in there. I'm getting off into deep water right here because I don't know exactly what I'm saying is correct, but I think Asa is about four kings removed from Solomon. Solomon started off with a bang. He started off great. He's the son of David. But in later life, he began to associate with people who worship false gods. And those people, some of them were his wives. He married wives who worshiped strange gods. And he got into idol worship. And he led the country into it. And now here we have Asa some years later, maybe 150 years later, somewhere in there. I'm just trying to give you an idea of the time frame. I know I'm not exactly right, but I think I'm close. Asa becomes king. Good man. He tore down altars. He knocked down false gods. He tried to do away with a lot of the idol worship. Now, Asa, brethren, we have right here in verses 1 and 2, the Spirit of God comes upon a man named Azariah, the son of Oded, and he goes out and he meets Asa. Asa's coming in from somewhere. I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. But God says to Azariah, go out there and talk to Asa and talk to the soldiers. They're coming in. It's an army coming in. Azariah, just a word about Azariah. Azariah was a very popular name among the Hebrews in this day. There are lots of Azariahs out there. This one, the Bible experts say, this is the only place in the Word of God that this Azariah is mentioned. All we know about him from God's Word is the Spirit of God came upon him and he goes out and he talks to Asa and the army. And then he disappears from the pages of the Bible. I'll bet you, you know, if we lived in his day, we might know him. We might know more things about him. He might have done other wonderful things. They're not recorded in the Bible. Only this, but God has seen fit to record this for us. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, and he goes out to meet Asa. And he says to Asa, hear ye me, Asa. I get the feeling that he goes right up to the king's chariot. And he says, O king, listen to what I've got to say. God has told me something, and I must tell you, Asa. He says, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. All you soldiers from Judah and Benjamin, you big army, you're victorious right now, but I've got something to say to you. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. He goes on speaking in the subsequent verses. His message ends at the end of verse 7. You see in verse 8 of this chapter, and when Asa heard these words, so we can't cover the first two verse 2 where he's talking, much less the rest of it. So we're going to stick with verse 1 and 2 here. Now where brethren had Asa been? Where was he coming from? It says Azariah went out to meet Asa. Asa, brethren, had been off in a battle. He'd been warring with the Ethiopians. He'd been fighting, and God gave him a great victory. Do you remember me saying some weeks ago that success is harder to deal with than failure? We all want to succeed. We want the victory. We want it. The danger in that, brethren, a danger in that is we get to where we're thinking we don't need God. We get to thinking we did something ourselves. You remember Gideon. You remember him? He had a great army and he was going to go fight. And God kept whittling his army down. And God said, the reason I'm doing this is so you'll know I'm doing it. It's not you. And so Azariah comes out. And one of the things he wants to impress upon Asa is, Asa, you didn't do this, brother. God did this. Let's read about it. Let's back up just a little bit. Go to chapter 14. Abiah, he dies. Asa, his son, reigns in his stead. Verse 2, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And what was that? Verse 3 tells us, he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah. That's his kingdom, brethren. Judah. It's Judah and Benjamin, but it goes by the name of Judah. Great big tribe in Israel. Commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments, to follow the Mosaic law, the ceremonial law, the civil law. Follow that. He took away, verse 5, out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom. He's a king, brethren. He's got a kingdom. And the kingdom was quiet before him. He had peace. He had peace in his day. He had prosperity. This is what he did. Here's how he prospered. Verse 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah. In other words, cities with walls around them. Reinforced, protected cities. He wasn't out fighting wars, so he had time to fortify his cities. For the land had rest, and he had no war in those years. Why? Verse 6. Because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Ah, it's a wonderful time, brethren. It's a wonderful time. There's peace. There's peace and prosperity. But all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Troubles come. Troubles come. They come. Here comes trouble. Verse 8. Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. What an army. 580,000 in his army. Okay, he's got the fortified cities. He's got his army equipped. There's peace in the land. Verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000. Look at that. Read it closely. A host of 1,000,000. How many is that? You take 1,000 and you add 3 zeros to it. That's 1,000,000. That's a lot of men, brethren. The Ethiopians, 1,000,000, plus 300 chariots. And they came to Marashah. Then Asa went out against him. Asa, he gets his 580,000. He goes out against him. And they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marashah. They're ready to fight, brethren. Now watch Asa, verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, now brother, pay attention, and sister, I mean, just get this. Here's Asa's prayer. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. God can save, brethren, with many or with few. He's not limited. Help us, O Lord, our God. You see, he's crying to God for help. He's not trusting in that 580,000 valiant men. He's looking to God for help. For we rest on thee. What a wise man, brethren. And in thy name we go against this multitude. We go against this bunch in the name of God. We don't go in our own power or some other God's name. We go in the name of God. Do you know that's how David went out against Goliath? Did you remember that? He says, I'm coming to you. You coming at me with a sword and spear. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the one true and living God. And brethren, that's the way to fight your battles right there. Don't go in your own strength. Go in the strength of God, in the name of God. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before His host, and they carried away very much spoil. Asa and his army carried away very much spoil. How much did they carry away? Well, I'll give you an idea. On the next page in my Bible, they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. That was just an offering of part of the spoil that they gathered. That's chapter 15, verse 11. They pursued them, they carried away much spoil, and they smote, verse 14 of chapter 14, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. I say there was. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem, Asa and his army. Now we come, brethren, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Let's read them. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So there's a man, when this victorious army is returning, this man comes out. God, the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we just finished this morning in Bible study a quarterly that was dedicated to the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think every lesson, I don't know, but many of the lessons dealt with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament in our day. But watch this. 1,000 years before Christ, brethren, 941 B.C., if my Bible's correct, somewhere in there, the Spirit of God, brethren, there's that same Holy Spirit, came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, now brethren, I want to say to you, Asa loves God, and he's serving God, and he's prayed to God, and he's been victorious. But here he comes now back into Jerusalem, and I think, brethren, the temptation is there. It would be for me. The temptation is there to say, oh man, I put it on them, didn't I? We whipped them good. We. There's no indication that that was Asa's thoughts, but we do have this, brethren. God sends a man out to Asa, and he says, hear ye me, Asa, and the rest of you all of Judah and Benjamin. And here, brethren, are three things that this man of God, that God would have this man to say to Asa and his army. And he's saying them, brethren, to you and me today. Here are the three things. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. That's a simple, straightforward principle of God's Word. It's one that came to my mind this past week as I was on vacation and I was laying in the bed. I think I was laying in the bed praying, saying, God, what will I preach on Sunday? It was about Wednesday of this week, somewhere in there. And the words came to me, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. Do you know what I think the next thought was in my mind? Are you with the Lord? Doesn't that make you think that question there? I had this professor years ago. He'd say something, he'd make a statement, and then he'd say, well, that begs the question, this. And then he'd say, well, you know, if you're going to say this, well, you got to ask this question. So here it is. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. So that begs the question, brethren, in your life and in mine, are you with Him? We've got a principle here. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. Well, the question is, okay, are you with Him? Are you with Him today? Are you with Him? I didn't write this in my notes. These are some of my thoughts that I wrote down, but I didn't make it part of the sermon today. But I had three things I was gonna say to you. I didn't write them down. Maybe I can remember them. Are you with Him in principle? Principle. Not the, like the principle of the school, but the principle like the truth. The basic truth. Here's the truth. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. Are you with Him in principle? In principle. In principle, I've had people say to me, well, I'm with you in principle, but I just can't do that. I know it's the principle, but I can't do that. Brethren, don't be with God only in principle. Be with Him all the way. All in. That's what we studied at camp, wasn't it, Brother Riley? All in. Don't be just with God in principle. Be all in with Him. There's the principle, brethren. Be with Him in principle. A way to be with God, brethren, He's with you while you're with Him. A way to be with Him, brethren, is in prayer. That's the way you want to be with God, brethren. Just stop what you're doing. Pull off the side of the road if you're driving. If you're home, kneel down and pray. Start praying. Oh, brethren, you'll be with God when you're praying, when you're fervently praying. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? We're studying that in James. I forgot the other P. It was three P's. I can't remember the other one. And if ye... Here's the second principle, brethren. And if ye seek Him, if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. Now that, brethren, is a comforting principle of God's Word. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found, Isaiah says. The trouble is, here's this. That begs this question. Are you seeking Him? Doesn't it? Doesn't that question come to your mind? If you're really examining yourself in the light of God's Word, if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. Well, that's nice to know. If I get in trouble next week, I'll remember that. I'll seek the Lord. Please don't work that way, brethren. Please don't do that. The question is, are you seeking Him now? Seek Him while He may be found. Here's the third principle that Azariah spoke to Asa and his men. And it's a kind of a worrisome one, brethren. The first two are very comforting, aren't they? But this one's a little worrisome. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. That's scary. That's scary, isn't it? Though the way be dark, yet the Lord hath said, He never will forsake. Now, how do you reconcile that wonderful old hymn with this right here? Well, one way is, He'll never forsake me when I die. I'm going to heaven because Christ has died for me. He will not forsake me in that way. But brethren, when I go out on my own, in my own way, and do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do, I get in trouble. I want to call on Him then. He won't be close by then. He lets me reap what I sow. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. I wish we had time. Would you please, brethren, just in this afternoon after we dismiss, read the rest of His message there. It's great. It's great. It's just about four more verses is all it is. Read that. Now, brethren, to close, and this is where I went to last week. I was talking to you about a king, and I said to you, you are a king. You, men, women, you're kings. The book of the Revelation. Would you go there? Would you go there? We jump now to the New Testament because brethren, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His principles live on. His principles are timeless. They're eternal. And God, brethren, God says it, and He means it, and it's true then, it's true now. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. If ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Asa was a king. He had a physical, literal kingdom. He had a scepter of some kind. He had a crown. He had a throne. People did what he said, by and large, while they were around him, at least. He was the boss. Asa was. He was a good king and a godly king. He had a kingdom. He also had a God, brethren, that he served under. And he was subject to God. Even though he was king, highest man in the kingdom, he was under God. Now, stay with me here, brethren. There's a parallel going along here. Here's Asa going along, ruling. There's Asa. Here's us. We live 3,000 years later. You and I live. But God says this about you and me. Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, Asa, Asa ruled. He had a beginning time to rule. He had an ending time to rule. He died. I think he ruled 40-something years. I'm not sure. He ruled a long time. Now we live. Now it's you and me, brethren, in the gospel age. And the gospel of Jesus Christ says this about Jesus Christ. John the Apostle said, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. You're kings, you and I, we're kings and priests. And Jesus Christ is the prince of the kings of the earth. He's our head, brethren. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who did that? Jesus. He and hath made us kings and priests unto God. Brethren, the thing I want to stress today is the takeaway, if you will. The thing I want you and me to understand is this. You've been made a king unto God. He rules over you, but you have a kingdom. Oh, you don't have a scepter. You don't have a stick. You don't have a literal crown. But brethren, you walk about in a spiritual kingdom. And how are you going to rule? Azariah comes out today by the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Mike comes out today, hopefully led by the Spirit of God, and says, hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Listen. As long as you're with God, He's with you. So simple, but so profound, isn't it? As long as you're with God, He's with you. You walk around in that spiritual kingdom. You go out the door today, you're going to be in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. God's made you a spiritual king, spiritual priest, to serve Him, to rule the way He says to rule. As long as you rule the way He wants you to rule, He's with you. If you seek Him, if you seek His direction, if you say, Lord, which way do I go here? The Word of God doesn't tell me which way here. I got two choices. They both seem pretty good. Which way to go? If you seek Him, do I go out against these Ethiopians, God? Like I imagine Asa asked God that. And God said, yeah, go get them. I'm with you. Go get them. When you come to a decision in your life, you say, Lord, you made me a king. You've given me choices here. How do I rule on this? How do I rule on this? If you seek His way, He will show you His way. Number three, if you forsake Him, so you say, kind of in the back of your mind, this is what I do. Kind of in the back of my mind, I do it real fast so I don't have to listen. I say, I know this ain't right, but I'm going to do it. I know the Lord wants me to do this, but I'm going to do this. I do it real quick, and then I kind of close my ear. I stop my ears. I forsake Him. And it was not long after that, I find out that He's forsaken me. That I'm out here trying to rule with my own little bit of wisdom, and I'm making a big mess of it. Three things, brethren, three things. The Lord is with you while you're with Him. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. Third thing, if you forsake Him, He'll forsake you. That's a bad place to be in right there, brethren. Forsaken of God. I guess that's where we get that expression. We're in this God-forsaken place. God's nowhere to be found in this place. When His presence, brethren, what did David say? Take not your presence from me. Well, David has taken first His presence from God. And so God took His presence from David. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You don't have a literal kingdom, men and women, brothers, sisters, boys and girls. You don't have a literal kingdom. You don't have a scepter. You don't have a literal crown. But just as sure as you're born, God, Jesus has made you kings and priests unto God. How are you going to rule? How are you going to rule? You're going to take Azariah's advice? You're going to live by those three principles? Or are you going to stop your ears like I do sometimes? Just go your own way. Remember, if you forsake God, He forsakes you. Oh, Father in heaven, I beg you to bless us to remember those three wonderful principles of your word. And then may we remind ourselves that you are the Lord. You change not. May we remember that Christ Jesus has made us kings and priests unto you. May we seek you, Lord. May we remember that you're with us while we're with you. That if we seek you, you'll be found. And if we forsake you, you'll forsake us. Oh, Lord, give us the grace to stay out of trouble and stay on that right way, I pray. We thank you for Christ Jesus' sacrifice in our behalf that's made us kings and priests, that saved us, and that we have spiritual life through him. We thank you for that, O God. Help us this day make good decisions. Remember these principles. Live by them. O God, thank you for your word. I pray my words interpreted and preaching, expound upon it, have been correct. I pray they've been correct and right in your sight and edifying to me and to the people here. I ask it, O God, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for our Lord and Savior. Amen.